You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Rich Eisen.
He is one of the all-time...
Rich Eisen.
Absolute... freaking great.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't see no competition.
With guest host Ben Lyons, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hey, Rich. Huge fan. Love your show. Listen to it every day.
Thanks, brother.
The Rich Eisen Show. And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Ben Lyons.
Welcome, everyone. Today is Thursday, July the 15th, 2021. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. We appreciate you hanging out with us, making us part of your day today. Got a big, big show today. My good friend Ramona Shelburne from ESPN knows all things NBA. She's going to call in about 20 minutes or so, so we can break down and digest Game 4 of the NBA Finals. Finally, we were delivered an all-timer, an instant classic last night in Milwaukee. Chris Middleton and Devin Booker dueling, Giannis with a historic block, an iconic play that will live on forever in NBA history. How does it impact his legacy? What will Chris Paul do in his response to Game 5? There's so much to get to from the NBA Finals, of course, so we'll break it all down with Ramona Shelburne. A little bit later on in the show, we'll get a little Hollywood as well. My buddy Jamie Patrickoff, a great producer, done films like Sugar and Half Nelson and Blue Valentine. He's going to check in, and we're going to talk about the state of sports cinema. The biggest Tampa Bay Bucks fan in Los Angeles, Shane Powers, is going to call in. The biggest Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan I know in Los Angeles, Shane Powers, is going to check in. He was a survivor. That's right. He was on CBS Survivor, and he's going to call in and check in as well, talk about all things Bucks. As well as Ro Parrish from NBA TV. Ro is my buddy and going to break down the NBA Finals. So a lot of guests, a lot of people checking in, talk about the NBA Finals and of course the WNBA All-Star Game last night too. I want to get into that. But before we get started, I do want to send some love and good energy to our friend Rich Eisen. If you follow Rich at the Rich Eisen across social media, of course, and at Rich Eisen Show. Rich announced this morning that he was diagnosed with COVID-19, despite having been vaccinated. He's in good spirits. I spoke with him yesterday. And so you're aware, this stint for me filling in for Rich over these 2 weeks was already planned, was already in the works for some time now. And as fate would have it, Rich on his vacation would be diagnosed with COVID. He's doing okay. As you saw in his Instagram post, he's been fighting off the symptoms, and the healthcare professionals that have been attending to him have expressed that a big reason why he's going to get through this and he's okay is because he was vaccinated. And we're thinking of him, and I know he's doing well, and I hope he's not listening to the show today. I hope he's getting rest, and I hope he's taking care of himself. He'll be back soon, but we're sending love and good energy, of course, to our friend Rich Eisen. It's Ben Lyons filling in for Rich. Here on the Rich Eisen Show, we're about 15 minutes away from Ramona Shelburne checking in. And, you know, I was thinking about Game 4 of the NBA Finals as I'm watching last night. And I had dubbed it the Devin Booker bounce back game. That's what you want to see from a great player. And for the longest time now, Devin Booker has kind of been like your favorite player's favorite player. He's that guy that within the industry of basketball, everybody knew was the one. And even though his Phoenix Suns had struggled during his first few years in the league, and, you know, despite that great bubble run they went on last year, they came up short, and this is his first playoff run. Everybody knew that Devin Booker had arrived. Part of Team USA, an all-star, a star off the court. Devin Booker gave you an all-time performance last night and did it with no three-pointers. Did it just with the mid-range game, which... for real hoopers, you love to see because the full bag is on display. His change of pace, he's so shifty. he didn't have to just jack up a ton of threes to get it done last night. And he goes for 42. However, it's the no call that will define the game last night. He goes up. He's got five fouls. The fouls take him out of the flow in the fourth quarter. And then he goes up to contest a Drew Holiday layup, clearly committing a foul. About 3.5 minutes to go, and the refs swallow the whistles. Keeps him in the game, keeps it close down the stretch. But as always, when it comes to the NBA Finals, it's defined by the moments. And life is like that as well. You know, you think about your life, and for most of us, most days are the same. You wake up, you decide what to have for breakfast. Maybe today I'll make a smoothie. Maybe I'll treat myself to a bacon, egg, and cheese. These are the tough decisions you have to make to start the day. You take the kids to school, you get to work. Most days tend to blend into each other. If I said to you, walk me through March 1st, 2018, you probably can't remember. But it's the moments that define us. It's the moments that we remember. It's the moments that we think back on as to how we became the person that we are today. And so it's the moments in the NBA Finals that define the series. I remember in 1991, my first NBA Finals as a fan that I truly remember being emotionally invested in. I remember the moment of Michael Jordan driving down the lane, going up with the right hand, switching it to the left when he saw his former North Carolina teammate, long-arm Sam Perkins, who thought twice about jumping and ending up in a Gatorade commercial. Jordan switched to the left hand, laid it in. It was a meaningless two-point layup, I guess, in the grand scheme of things. However, it was the iconic moment that defined that series because it really represented the passing of the torch from Magic Bird, from the Magic and Bird era of the NBA to then what would become the Michael Jordan era. He continued that, of course, with the shrug in 92, hitting a bunch of three-pointers in the first half, which now just seems like another NBA Finals shooting performance for a guy like Jay Crowder or Mike Miller. But back then when nobody shot three-pointers, MJ's shrug in 92 against the Blazers was the defining moment of that series, and they won game one, and the Bulls never looked back. There's so many great defining moments in NBA Finals history that when you think back to particular series, that was the play that defined not only the game, the series, but the legacy of these athletes who we are so emotionally connected to. We know their stories, tapestries woven into the history of the game, almost like Avengers origin stories. We know how Peter Parker was bit by the spider and how his Uncle Ben was murdered and he had to become a hero and step into himself. And we know Spider-Man's origin story. We know Giannis's origin story. Grew up from humble beginnings in Athens, the son of Nigerian immigrants who was able to overcome poverty, find the game of basketball and bring his talents to America, build a life for his family, play alongside his brothers. It's an incredible story. And that story was enriched last night with his NBA Finals moment.
Now Booker with Tucker on him. Throws it up for Ayton. Shot blocked by Antetokounmpo. What a block from Giannis.
It was an incredible moment. Mike Breen on the call last night. And what's so epic about the Giannis block was that he was late on it. He anticipated it. He knew that Ayton had beat him backdoor, and he didn't jump towards the ball. He jumped towards a spot. He wasn't afraid to get dunked on. It was a moment that just summarizes everything that represents Giannis Antetokounmpo. This man is the Greek freak. He's a freak of nature athletically. That is an athletic play that mere mortals can only dream of. And he's able to, with the hyperextended knee, let's not forget, that needs to be brought up throughout these NBA Finals, because just 2 weeks ago, we thought his season was done. And now he's going out there and doing something like that, that will live on in NBA history. Here's what his teammate Pat Connaughton had to say after the game about the Giannis block.
No, know, I had a great view of that. I almost forgot to grab the rebound or go for the rebound after I saw it. Look at it, I'm right there on the elbow. It was a great pass by Book. It was a great play. And Giannis just did what Giannis does. That's why he's the MVP. That's why he's the Defensive Player of the Year. Those are the types of plays that he makes. That's why he's the freak, the Greek freak. And, you know, it's much better to have him on our team than for anything else.
At least the biggest one since 2016 or so, right?
Yeah, for sure. Him and LeBron, I mean, they can duke it out for the best block of all time.
All right, now that's obviously a hot topic today, is the LeBron block versus the Giannis block. And this gets back to my theory about moments. Circumstances really define moments in terms of their importance. But if you just want to look at the physical nature of the block, remove the historical context. Well, in case you forgot, the end of the 2016 NBA Finals, Game 7, legacies on the line. Here's what LeBron did at Oracle.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup, oh, blocked by James! LeBron James with the rejection!
Wow.
His third block of the game as we come up on a minute and a half remaining.
Picked off by Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala to the rim, blocked
by
James!
Oh, great block!
James out of nowhere skies to the rim, he bats it away, and J.R. Smith recovers.
I mean, that block to save the game at the end of the game, down 3-1, the series on the line, LeBron, can he get it done? There's no this is for you Cleveland moment without that play. So the circumstances around it elevate his greatness. Now, he also chased down Andre Iguodala running from half court. But I think Giannis spinning backwards, turning around, blocking a seven-footer who's trying to dunk on his head, I think just for maybe a... you're looking at it from the physicality of it, might be more impressive. However, the context, of course, I'll go with LeBron. LeBron's play is the greatest defensive play in NBA history. LeBron's play is the most important, impactful. There's so many sliding doors moments with LeBron's play. History is yet to be written when it comes to the Giannis block. But he did have some insights after the game when he was asked about the play.
As I said, like, I didn't jump to block the ball. I jumped towards the rim. I feel like that's what kind of helped me, put me in position to get the block, because I jumped. The rim was right here, so I jumped right here. So he could, like, shoot the ball. If he shot the ball to the backboard, it would probably be a goaltending, you know, but he tried to dunk it. So I was right there earlier than him.
Giannis Antetokounmpo after the game. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. And it's just a ridiculous play at a time when Milwaukee desperately needed a stop. And he showed up and gave us one of the great moments. And what makes Giannis such a superstar is not only did he give us a great moment on the court, but then he gave us a great moment after the game when he was asked about this thing he's been doing now where he checks out of the game in the first quarter at a time when superstars don't usually look for a breather, look for a rest. Giannis has been checking himself out of the game, and nobody really knows why. He explained it afterwards.
Giannis, this was the second game in a row you went out early in the first quarter. I'm just curious what was going on there.
I wanted, what the hell you guys say politely? I wanted to take a tinkle. A tinkle? Yeah. I went to take a tinkle and came back. Yeah. That's polite, right? Yeah. Tinkle is polite, yeah. Both games. I went to take a tinkle and went back.
I mean, you gotta love Giannis's honesty. You gotta love anybody who takes the air out of the room and just gives you something funny to laugh when everyone's so stressed and intense. And it's about moments. How many press conferences have you heard as a sports fan that you completely forget? That's your random March 1st, 2018. That's your random, do I have a smoothie or bacon and eggs this morning? I don't really know. And it's just another day that goes by and, you know, forgettable. There's so many press conferences. Yeah, we played really hard and we went out there and we were trying to take it one game at a time. You're going to remember the moment when Giannis talked about having to take a tinkle in the NBA Finals. That is a moment that will live on in Giannis's story and legacy. And that's what the NBA Finals is all about, celebrating the moments. That's what life's all about, those disruptive moments that break up the mundane, that add to our legacy, that add to our memory, that add to our soul and give us fuel to move forward and take on the day-to-day, the mundane, the forgettable, the slog that we need to move through and push through to get those moments that bring us joy and bring us together. And the NBA Finals is littered with them. We got a bunch of them last night. We're going to get deeper into the NBA Finals today on the show because later on we've got Ro Parrish from NBA TV. Ro and I hosted a show for a few years called The Warm Up with Turner Sports, NBA TV. Shouts out to Tony Rock, who is our co-host as well. It was Twitter's first live show that they produced, all about basketball. It was a Thursday night thing. We did it in Atlanta for 2 years. And Ro, if you watch the NBA on NBA TV, then you know that Ro knows. So Ro's going to break down some of the finals with us a little bit later. Some crazy stats around Chris Paul. And that's what I want to get into with Ramona Shelburne next. Ramona Shelburne from ESPN is going to hang out. And we're going to break down Chris Paul's performance, what he needs to do to bounce back, and some of the keys for Phoenix to find their footing as they had a stronghold of the series up 2-0, now find the momentum in Milwaukee's favor, heading back to Phoenix for a Game 5 on Saturday night. That's going to be a vibe out there in the desert. Woo! Man, the Suns and four guys pregaming now. Ramona Shelburne joins us next. It's Ben Lyons filling in for Rich. We're sending Rich a lot of love today. Get well soon. We'll hold down the fort, Rich. Ben Lyons filling in on the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the show. The show rolls on. Ben Lyons hanging out for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. As always, you can hit us up at Rich Eisen Show on Twitter, Instagram. Hit me up at I am Ben Lyons. I'll be hanging out with Brockman and TJ and Del Tufo, the whole crew, next week. Here on the radio, of course, Westwood One, Sirius XM 211, and on Peacock next week. I'm going to make sure to shave and wear a collared shirt. My mother will be watching. I've been watching the Open Championship. I love being here in Southern California at the Rich Eisen Studios because that means the British Open, the Open Championship, that kicks off at like 2 in the morning. So when I'm getting up early, because I'm doing hours and hours and hours of research, of course, here filling in for Rich, I'm getting up with the, you know, with just me, the moon, and the coyotes out there, and guys like Jake Gyllenhaal, a nightcrawler, roaming the streets, watching the Open Championship. I love Justin Rose. Justin Rose, -367 today. Sits in seventh, but I love Justin Rose because I think we're the same age, and I remember him holing out on 18 when he was an amateur to finish in the top 10 at the Open Championship many, many moons ago. I've been fortunate for many, many moons to be friends with our next guest. She covers the NBA and all things sports in Southern California, of course, for ESPN. It's my good buddy Ramona Shelburne who takes some time to hang out with us day after game four of the NBA Finals and that legendary Giannis block got his finals moments. Your thoughts from game four, Momo? Thanks for joining the show.
Hey, Ben. How are you? I love that you get up at 2 a.m. Like, I'm going to bed at 2 a.m.
Well, there used to be a time, Ramona, when I would just stay up from 2 a.m. But No, now I'm definitely getting up like on some vampire hours as there's so much going on right now. And I just get so jacked up for the finals all these moments. It takes me back to my childhood. The finals are defined by moments. What do you think about the Giannis block last night?
I think that block is this iconic play that if Milwaukee goes on to win, that's all we're going to talk about and show in every highlight forever about this series and the season. But if they lose, like, it's forgotten. It's great. It was wonderful. But I think it's one of those moments that, like, it happened in game four. If it happened in game seven, like LeBron's chase down block against Andre Iguodala, like, then that becomes the iconic block. But you know, great plays in game four only matter if you end up winning the series. So what's amazing about it, though, Ben, like, think about what Giannis did. He actually defended the alley and the oop.
Insane.
He's defending Devin Booker as Devin Booker's coming down the lane, and then has enough athletic ability to drop step, pivot, turn, and recover to block the oop to DeAndre Ayton. I've never seen that. Have you?
No, and to get up fast enough and high enough. That's why I said before, if you remove the historical context, the moment of the game, game four versus game seven, LeBron going back to Cleveland, the decision, all the stuff around it, just from a pure athleticism, if I'm a space alien and I come down to Earth and I have no idea who these two people are, I say that's more impressive.
Yeah. I mean, look, and here's the thing. I don't want to go negative on this answer, okay? Because I don't like being a negative person. I'm generally a positive person. But I have two takeaways from game four. One, the Giannis block is what we're always going to talk about. But you know who didn't have a moment in game four? Chris Paul. And, like, this whole series is just set up to be a coronation for Chris Paul. Like, after 16 years, he's going to finally get his NBA championship. I mean, at least he's got to the finals so far. But this is set up to have a moment. And Devin Booker was having himself a game. 40 points, like 17 fouls, but only five of them were called. Okay, but he was having himself an incredible game. All Chris Paul had to do was just be solid. And that late turnover, the 5-for-13 from the field, I mean, it just wasn't a crisp, was not even close to like a solid game, let alone his finest hour. And I don't know. They're going back to Phoenix. Maybe they'll end up winning the series because home court has mattered so far. But that was a real missed opportunity for him and the Suns.
Ramona Shelburne joins the show, ESPN's own Ben Lyons here, hanging out for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. And while the Giannis block will be the defensive play that gets immortalized forever in NBA history, it's the defense of Jrue Holiday that caused such chaos for Chris Paul. I follow my buddy Tommy Beer on Twitter. He had a great stat. Chris Paul committed 22 turnovers over the first three rounds of the playoffs, and he's committed 15 turnovers in the last three games of the NBA Finals.
Wow.
So is that a Chris Paul thing, or is that a Jrue Holiday and the scheme and the defense of the Milwaukee Bucks thing?
I think it's a Jrue Holiday thing. I think the guy's really good defensively. And, like, we are giving him a very hard time offensively because he's just really missing a lot of easy looks. His shooting percentage is pretty rough. But if he plays defense like that, it's probably worth it. I mean, they switched Jrue Holiday on to Chris Paul after that game one, remember Chris Paul had this amazing game one, it's 32 points. It just looked like, God, he's playing like that at age 36. He's just turned back time. He's having a great time in the finals. And then the Milwaukee said, okay, fine. We're just going to put Jrue Holiday on him. And they're able to do that, Ben, which I think is really incredible because PJ Tucker can guard Devin Booker. PJ Tucker, who was like the guy you saw guarding Kevin Durant in the second round, he's able to also then defend a guard in Devin Booker. That's an amazing versatility that PJ Tucker has, but he's been, it's hard to say he's been great on a guy who had 40 points. Okay. But he's done enough on Devin Booker that they can get away with having Jrue Holiday on Chris Paul for most of the time.
No, you're absolutely right about PJ Tucker doing a great job on Devin Booker, despite him going for 42. It reminds me of those Knicks-Bulls battles where they would say, wow, Starks was great on Jordan tonight. Jordan only had 44.
Right. Totally. That's how good Devin Booker was last night. I don't like to ever compare anybody to Kobe Bryant because Kobe Bryant has five rings and is immortalized. And he's just like that. He's at another level than anybody else. But in terms of having that kind of not only ability to dominate a game and take over a game, but also the mental toughness to just do that after he had a real, I mean, Devin Booker, he sucked in game three, right? Like, he didn't even play the fourth quarter. So to come back from a game like that and then just go for 40, and it was an easy 40 too, wasn't it? I mean, it just felt like he was getting whatever he wanted. He's so smooth on that jumper. He can do whatever he wants on the court right now. And they're paying him a lot of attention. It's not like nobody's guarding. TJ is doing a good job on it. But Devin Booker, he really does have that in him, that Kobe ability in him. And I think mentally it's a lot to put on a young player like that. But Devin Booker wants all of that. He wants all that challenge. And like, that's why he sought out Kobe all those years.
It shows you, Ramona, that there's levels to this. His performance last night kind of reminded me of Michael Jordan in the 80s going up against the Celtics before Scottie got to town.
Yeah.
You know, the game he scored 70 in the Boston Garden where they all took that photo in the locker room afterwards, they lost by double digits. So this will be part of Devin Booker's legacy that is getting etched in stone throughout these finals of, yes, he can ball out, he can bounce back, but they lost.
Yep.
Can he win? Can he get over the hump? And that's what you love about greatness, is that it has to continue. It has to keep pushing forward. And I think if you're Milwaukee, you got to feel comfortable today that, you know, the formula for success was Giannis goes for 40 and we follow the way. Well, he wasn't the leading scorer. It was Chris Middleton last night who dropped 40 in his own masterpiece down the stretch. Can he travel, though? Middleton's been terrible on the road throughout the playoffs, or pedestrian, I should say. Can he travel for a game five? Is that the key, you think, for Milwaukee to really take control of the series?
It probably is. I mean, look, they came out of those first couple of games and felt pretty good about themselves. Not just because Giannis was great, even though, I mean, have we forgotten what his knee looked like 10 days ago?
Yeah.
I mean, like, the fact that Giannis has come back from that hyperextended knee, I mean, that was incredible. But to me, they felt good about it because they were the Bucks felt like, if we just cut down on our turnovers, if we clean up the little things like transition defense, our turnovers, if we make more of our free throws, we win those games. Like, as good as Phoenix played in games one and two at home, Milwaukee was right there. They just weren't clean all the way around. So it wasn't necessarily about Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton need to score more. It was just they have to just clean up some of those things that we all talk about. Get out, you know, transition defense and free throws. And those are things that any team can do on the road that don't require making big shots in front of a hostile crowd. Right. And I think that's why, we saw the Chris Middleton game. He was great. Ben, this series is really weird though, because we kind of rushed to get to game one. Like, Atlanta played game seven of the Eastern Conference, game six of the Eastern Conference Finals on a Saturday. And then they had to do, let me see if I get my
game one was on Tuesday. It was a quick turnaround. Yeah.
Really quick turnaround. And then the next one was Thursday, but then there was 3 days off and then 3 days off again. I mean, they've had a lot of rest this week. And we don't play again until Saturday. So the spacing is somewhat because of the All-Star game. The Major League Baseball All-Star game was this week. And so that kind of spaced things out in a different way. But people, you know, in terms of rest and recovery, like, that was a knockout fight last game. Everybody looked exhausted. But they have plenty of time to recover. I don't think fatigue's going to be a factor here.
Well, I think it's interesting, the conversation around rest and recovery, when you look at these NBA finals. And Ramona Shelburne from ESPN joins the show. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen show. Is how it impacts Team USA. Last night we got an epic NBA finals game featuring Drew Holiday, Devin Booker, and Chris Middleton. Yeah. How are those guys going to get on a plane in a week and head to Tokyo and be a part of what Pop's trying to do with USA men's basketball?
Ooh, good question. Look, they're all young, I guess. They all should be okay. I guess I'm a little I'm like in my early 40s. So I remember the days in my 20s when I could just pull all nighters three nights in a row. And Ben, you're like the king of like flying all over the world.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, Ramon, I did a power walk up Runyon Canyon yesterday. We might have had to call in Ryan Leaf to fill in for the show this morning, let me tell you.
right? I mean, like, they're young, they're used to it. These guys travel. I mean, nobody's traveled all that much this year, but I don't know. I think Devin Booker looks like he's in great shape. He doesn't look tired to me. You know, Middleton looks pretty tired by the end of that game, but like, I think they'll be all right in terms of the Olympics because, yeah, you got the weird time zone stuff, but like, they're all young, they've been traveling, and they don't necessarily have to be great right away. Like, the time that they'll really need those guys is later on. What it affects the Olympic team more is that, as we have seen, they are not a team yet. They really need to play together a little bit and find some rhythm and find some ways of doing things. And that the larger issue with Team USA is that we've gone away from this program that we had built, right? In 2008, 2012, the guys who were on those teams, they showed up at all the mini camps in Vegas every year. They play in the world championships. There was like team building that happened on the off years. So that by the time you got to the Olympics, like, you didn't necessarily have to figure out who was going to do what and how to play together and all that. I mean, people had bonded and spent a lot of time together by the time they got to the Olympics. Now we're just throwing it together. Like, it's like an all-star game, except the teams we're playing against, Australia is probably the best example of this. They've been playing together for years. They're great. Spain is another one. I mean, they really know what they're doing out there. So when you wonder why Team USA struggles against these teams, it's because we have sort of abandoned the program building, the team building that we had done, you know, a couple of Olympic cycles ago. I don't know what we could have done differently. It's hard to, this year, the last 2 years have been really hard. I mean, you know, it's hard to, you know, put too much pressure on those guys to show up. Kevin Durant wasn't exactly available.
No, and the fact that Kevin Durant is even playing now, considering 2 weeks ago he was dueling with Giannis, it's insane. And he should be applauded for that. And he's always been a real hooper, and we'll follow the game of basketball around the globe wherever it takes him. But I'm glad you brought up this stuff about the commitment to Team USA and the commitment to the Olympic program, because I think the men's program can take a real page from the women's book. And what we saw last night with the WNBA All-Star game was tremendous. Arike Ogunbowale gets her MVP. She's her first time All-Star. She goes for 26, but the Team USA team lost to the WNBA All-Star team, but the format created an incredible atmosphere. It's going to help Team USA. I love watching this squad of goats of Sue Bird and Griner and, you know, Stewie, and they just got some ballers on that team. And I would love to see the men do something similar. Do you think we'll ever see an All-Star game in the NBA of Team USA going up against a team of All-Stars? Because that would speak to your point about continuity. If this group of men that's going to Tokyo had played in February as a group, they would have that connective tissue.
That's a good point. I never thought about it because I think that the timing doesn't match up as well as it does for the women, right? Because the WNBA season is generally overlapping much closer to the Olympic season. They actually have to take a break in the WNBA season so that a bunch of people can go play for their nations in the Olympics. So it doesn't overlap, but I mean, there's no reason why it couldn't. I mean, if people wanted to get on board with that, I think it would be kind of fun.
I just thought it was so great how like, even when she won the trophy last night, Arike was like, hey, we're rooting for you guys. We're here to help you guys get better. And it's that camaraderie in the W that just makes that league so special.
I will say this, though. For people who don't know the whole background here, Arike Ogunbowale could be on Team USA.
Right.
But Team USA has Team USA has so many good players that they generally have this idea, okay, when you're a young player, you just kind of wait your turn. Eventually, you might be good enough to make the Olympics. You probably should, but we'll get to you when you're 28, not 24, okay? So, now, they make exceptions to that all the time, which is why people are really upset that Neko Gumuke is not on the team. But like the team that the WNBA All-Stars are put together, it was like this all snub team. It was like all these players who either had been on the team before and got cut, like Candace Parker, okay, or Arike Ogunbowale, who could be on the team but was told to wait till next time. They get to like have a showdown with everyone watching against the ladies who were selected for the team. It was great.
It's a great atmosphere. Yeah, Arike is kind of like the Julius Randle of the WNBA. Like, that's like Julius Randle having to go up against Kevin Love in an All-Star game versus the Team USA. Ramona Shelburd joins the show. It's so great having basketball on in July, isn't it? I know it's been a crazy year and it's been tough.
Yeah, normally this time of year, I was just trying to think like what I would normally be doing in July. We would be just wrapping up free agency by this point. And I'd be getting ready to say sayonara.
No, isn't this the time you usually link up with Magic and Sam Jackson and Monte Carlo Portofino on the Magic Johnson vacation?
Okay, wait.
How much does that guy love grilled fish and a logo t-shirt?
Okay, the Magic Johnson Italian vacation tour is the highlight of social media during July because he goes every year. Like, he gets on a boat and goes every single year. It's sort of just living his best life.
Let me tell you a great story about that. Let me tell you a great story about that. Okay. So my wife and I went on our honeymoon to Italy and France. This is in 2017. Right. And we made our way up and down the coast as ones do on their honeymoon. It was a beautiful trip for us, right? So a few months later, as Hollywood would have it, I'm on the third tee at Mountain Gate with Sam Jackson, right? And I say, Sam, I saw on Instagram that you and Magic were traveling around Italy and you guys were going to the towns that my wife and I were going to. You guys were just a few weeks behind us on the trip. And he says, oh, that's great, Ben. I wish I had known. What was the name of your vessel? And I said, Sam, the name of my vessel was Fiat, was a rented Fiat from, how do you say Hertz in Italian?
That's great. Yeah, no, Magic and Sam Jackson, they have a yacht.
What's the name of your vessel? Nice. Yeah.
No, but they bump into James Harden. And you know what's amazing? Like, my favorite of the photos so far this year was the one where they were in, I don't even know where they were, but Magic was, sometimes he has a Versace shirt on. Sometimes he's got some kind of fashionable Balenciaga shirt or something. He had like a Los Angeles tourist shirt on. Like, that was the photo. Like, he had this, like, I don't know if he bought it at the airport or maybe it's like a fancy one.
Like the equivalent of the like I Love NY shirt, right? That you would get at the airport. I feel like someone from Team Magic goes to the outlet malls the week before the trip and just cakes out on like Versace, Cole Haan, Armani Exchange, and just gets him right for that trip.
He's living right though. He goes for a month on a yacht with his best friends all around the Mediterranean, to the point where at this point, now when he takes pictures with the proprietors of the, this is my old friend. I've been coming here for 16 years. Like, he really does know every owner of every cool restaurant in Portofino or Capri or, I mean, it's like the life goals.
Wait,
hashtag life goals.
You don't think he'd rather be president of the Lakers basketball operations and be studying second round draft options for them right now?
Nah.
You think he'd rather be having grilled fish with Momo and Capri instead?
I'm pretty sure he still went on the trip when he's president of the Lakers.
Ramona Shelburd joins the show. You're the greatest. Enjoy the rest of your day here in Southern California, Momo.
Thanks, Ben.
Ramona Shelburd, ESPN. Yeah, that Magic, LL Cool J, Sam Jackson yacht trip is quite the fun follow on social media. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich. We got a lot more NBA Finals stuff. We got some Hollywood talk with Jamie Patrickoff a little bit later. Plus, I want to take a deeper dive at this WNBA All-Star format and see if that's not something Team USA on the men's side can take away as they head off to Tokyo. Olympics around the corner. Yankees, Red Sox tonight. Lots going on in the sports world. Ben filling in for Rich. We're sending Rich good energy and lots of love today. The Rich Eisen Show.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Ben Lyons hanging out for Rich. Game 4 of the NBA Finals in the books. Bucks get it done. Bucks get us a series now. It's getting spicy. Just a few games left, possibly three. Game five will be Saturday night, two more off days, which I would think would benefit Chris Paul and the Suns more so than the Bucks. The Bucks have finally figured something out. Giannis is in rhythm. Middleton balled out, but Phoenix looked young last night. The others didn't travel. That was one of the keys for the Phoenix Suns. Devin Booker bounced back. Check. You got that. DeAndre Ayton staying out of foul trouble. Gave you 17 rebounds. Check. You got that. You needed the others to travel. They say that the great role players play well at home in the postseason and forget to get on the flight. And that's what happened again last night with the others from the Phoenix Suns. In game two, a double-digit victory for Phoenix, Mikal Bridges gave you 27 points. Last night, he gave you seven. Combination of Cam Johnson, Cameron Payne, Mikal Bridges. It amounted to 26 points last night. The Milwaukee Bucks from Brooke Lopez, Pat Connaughton got 25 points last night. Throw in Torrey Craig for Phoenix, that's 30 points. That's not enough. Even with Booker's 40. Because if Chris Paul doesn't show up like he didn't last night, 5 of 13 with a gang of turnovers, timely turnovers as well, then this could be four in a row for the Bucks. I like Milwaukee's chances in Game 5 better than I did in Games 1 and 2. They're getting more rest than they did getting off the Eastern Conference Finals. We just had Ramona Shelburne on from ESPN, and she reminded us that the Hawks and Bucks went six games, and 2 days later, 3 days later, boom, NBA Finals starts. Well, now they get another break as they head back to Phoenix with some confidence. They figured out the recipe. Giannis is really playing like Shaq. It's incredible to watch. I remember Shaq felt like a cheat code, felt like a glitch in the Matrix, felt like you had gone up, up, down, down, left, right, A, B, A, B, A in Contra for Nintendo. Dating myself with that one, but you know the code. Got you every single weapon in that game. Well, Giannis has unlocked the code, and of course Milwaukee is benefiting from it because think about this. Milwaukee lost the battle in field goal percentage last night. Phoenix shot over 50% from the field and still lost. They lost the battle in three-point percentage last night, going just 7 of 29, shooting 24% as a team. But this is what the game came down to. It was the one block that will live on forever in NBA history. The Giannis block is something that we will be talking about for generations to come.
Now Booker with Tucker on him. Throws it up for Ayton. Shot blocked by Antetokounmpo. What a block from Giannis.
Mike Breen on the call, usually here at the Rich Eisen Show, and Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. We usually have Raiders board op Art with us, but Art is out today. Laura is here. Good morning here in Southern California. Laura, how are you?
I am well. Thank you for bringing me on.
Did you you get a chance to watch that Giannis block last night?
Sorry, I don't have my headphones on. Give me a moment.
No worries. Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on the Rich Eisen Show. Coming up in about half an hour, my buddy Jamie Patrickoff, producer, best friend of Rich Kleiman, Kevin Durant's buddy, Rich Kleiman, his high school power forward teammate, Jamie Patrickoff, who's become a big producer here in Hollywood, produced a documentary about KD for HBO a few years ago. He's going to call in about 30 minutes. Laura's got her headphones on now, ready to go. Did you see the Giannis block last night? What were your thoughts?
Look, Ben, I'm going to be honest. I'm not much of a basketball. I have a little bit of PTSD with basketball. I was forced to play it. I wasn't very good. I refused to watch it because it just brings back very awful memories.
I thought you were going to say we're kindred spirits with you had PTSD because I'm a Knicks fan. So I thought I've just seen so much terrible basketball.
No, because over the years. I watched myself and it's just... That's all I needed.
Well, the play last night, I think, will live on in NBA history. And I think it is going to be a turning point in the series because the finals are defined by those moments. And, you know, last night, that moment just sealed the deal for Milwaukee, who was down big and slowly but surely came back. Middleton was outstanding. And if I'm Phoenix, I got my bounce back game from Booker. I kept Ayton out of foul trouble. Drew Holiday struggled from the field, and it wasn't enough. The others have to show up for Phoenix. You know, I think back to great role-playing performances throughout NBA history. You think of Mike Miller in Game 5 for Miami. I think he hit 7 threes. You think of John Paxson in 93, that final play in Phoenix of Game 6 where all five members of the Chicago Bulls touch the ball on the last possession of the game and Paxson gets the wide open three. We all know the Steve Kerr shot in the finals, I believe it was 97 for the Chicago Bulls. Role players oftentimes define the NBA finals. You have moments like last night with Giannis, but it's Connaughton's three down the stretch. Big time shot from Pat. The others for Phoenix have to show up. Chris Paul's struggling. He's got Drew Holiday on him. I follow Tommy Beer. He's a great writer for Forbes, covers basketball at a high level. He had a great stat. Drew Holiday has been the primary defender on Chris Paul for a total of 78 possessions during the NBA Finals, and Chris has forced 7 turnovers. For comparison, Dennis Schroeder guarded CP3 for 83 possessions in the first round, and Chris Paul only committed 1 turnover. So this isn't just Chris Paul hitting a mental block, running out of steam at 36, the plant-based diet not panning out. No, it's none of that. Chris is competing at a high level, and I know his wrist is giving him some problems. And that shoulder, he's banged up. But Chris Paul is a gamer. Drew Holiday is just playing some excellent defense. And it's a reason why he's an all-league defender. He's on Team USA. Got 3 guys in this game on Team USA. Devin Booker, Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday. And the American men's basketball team looks all out of whack. I know they waxed Argentina the other day. It doesn't matter. They look like a mess. They don't look like they have any continuity. They're playing timid. And I think they can take a page out of what the women are doing. The WNBA All-Star game last night was fantastic. And Team USA hit a wall against the WNBA All-Stars. And that's going to motivate them heading to Tokyo. But to watch Breonna Stewart, Brittany Griner, Sue Bird, Skylar Diggins-Smith, like that's a squad. And it's because they've been playing together for a long time. So just imagine if back in February at the All-Star game, if we got Team USA versus a collection of NBA All-Stars from around the world. Would have been a better All-Star game, and it would have been better for Team USA as they try to figure things out before the Olympics in Tokyo without half their team still in the NBA Finals. So kind of a mess on the men's side of things. I know they beat up on Argentina the other day, but I'm not giving them a pass. I haven't been impressed yet. I'm still waiting to see more. All right, big show. The show rolls on. Jamie Patrickoff calling in, an original survivor, Los Angeles's biggest Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, host of The Shane Show. Shane Powers will check in, plus Ro Parrish from NBA TV, the day after Game 4 of the NBA Finals. Appreciate you rocking out with us. It's Ben Lyons filling in for Rich on The Rich Eisen Show.